Well done, dear.
You need help, Finn?
No, I can get up on my own.
Mayhap it is time for some dietary restrictions on your part, dear fellow.
Fuck that. What we need to do is to get rid of these fucking bulky coats. You hear that, Ryan? Be best after a fucking tight spot like that. Can't do that again, Ryan.
Despite Finnegan's almost limitless courage, Ryan could tell there was panic in the fat man's eyes. Being in this twining, bending maze of darkness was like living one's worst nightmares. The walls seemed to close in, and the clumps of dirt that fell constantly from the roof kept the chilling fear of a cave-in fresh in one's mind.
Keep the coats as long as we can. When we get out, we'll need them, Finn.
Sure, Ryan. When we get out. Or maybe it's if we fucking get out.
We'll get out, Finn. Air's tasting sweeter, and the light's not so bad.
100 feet farther along, they came to a dead halt. The tunnel had sloped down again, getting wetter and wetter, until they were crawling on hands and knees through clinging mud.
I think I can hear running water, lover.
If it rains up top, then it's coming this way.
I just love the way you reassure a girl, Mr. Cotter. If these tunnels start to fill up with water, it'll be a million laughs.
It goes underwater. Maybe a trap. I'm going through. If it's safe, I can't get through, I'll come back.
Ryan pushed past the others and touched the boy's shoulder, feeling it slick with mud.
Don't try and be a fucking hero on this one, Jack. Don't push it too far. Remember, the Doc and the girls and Finn won't be able to get as far as you can.
Sure.
The mane of tumbling hair, although matted and streaked with dirt, glistened white in the narrow confines of the tunnel. Ryan, his eyes accustomed to the poor light, watched as the boy crawled to the point where the flat, leaden water waited. Jack took several deep breaths, then gave a quick thumbs-up sign. Slipping into the unknown deeps of the pool, he wriggled out of sight like an eel. A feeble trail of bubbles burst to the surface, hung there for a moment, then vanished. To Ryan, the bubbles were a lingering reproach for allowing the lad to risk the dive. He counted 50 slow beats of his heart. Then he saw an ominous swirling in the water, as though some sinister creature were moving deep below them. Christy pointed at a faint white blur in the darkness.
There he is.
Red burst out of the side of the pool. He shook his soaking hair away from his face.
Easy.
Sounds like it, Whitey.
No. Go down a couple of feet and swim straight for around 15 feet. No more than that. Air's fresher, other side. Colder, more light.
What about tracks?
Can't see none, but I figure it's raining up top. Water streaming down passage.
Best get it over with.
Yeah, lover, let's... Hey, what's wrong, Lori?
Huddled in her new fur coat, the girl shook as if she had an ague. Doc hugged her, then looked away from her to the faces of the others, seeing his own concern mirrored in everyone else's eyes. Finn broke the silence.
She can't fucking swim. That's it, isn't it, Lori?
No!
The girl buried her face on Doc Tanner's shoulder.
I'll take it, Drew.
Jack stood up, muddy water pouring from his clothes.
But we best go quick.
Lori pulled away, backing against the wall of the tunnel, eyes wide and blank with terror, her right hand dropping to the butt of the pistol at her belt. Ryan saw immediately that she wasn't going to go through easy. Which meant it had to be hard.
Lori?
Oh, no! Oh, no!
Jack, calm and friendly, stepped toward her, watching her fingers gripping the butt of the small Walther PPK blaster. Ryan watched her eyes, seeing her glance across to Doc Tanner for reassurance.
It's all right. Nobody will make...
The punch jarred through his wrist and elbow, clear up to the shoulder. There had been no point in trying to pull it. The girl was in such an advanced state of panic that she could have easily gone for her gun. And then he'd have had to kill her. Better to lay her out cold. Her teeth clicked together as she went over. His fist had hit her clean on the angle of her jaw, so that she was sent back up the tunnel, heels teetering, before she crashed down, one leg kicking out in a residual gesture.
You cowardly bastard!
Doc Tanner stepped toward Ryan and raised his sword stick.
Don't do it, Doc. Ryan did it for the best. We try and force her, someone would get chilled. We leave her, she gets chilled on her own.
The old man turned away, eyes closed, shaking his head.
I had not considered that.
He turned back, moving to kneel beside the unconscious girl.
Leave her, Doc. No time. Finn, you and Jack drag her through. This room, Jack?
Easy. I hold hand over nose and mouth. Won't choke.
Finnegan and Jack plunged into the dark water, gripping the limp figure of the girl between them as they kicked their way out of sight. Ryan counted 100 heartbeats, then gave the old man the nod.
Go join him, Doc. And tell her I'm real sorry about hitting her.
I accept that you were correct in your course of action, Mr. Corder, but you could scarcely expect me to relish it.
Hat jammed on his head, one hand steadying it. Doc Tanner vanished from their sight. Ryan, JB, and Christy waited for a few moments. The water at their feet swelled and surged, lapping at the toes of Ryan's combat boots.
Fire blast!
What?
Christy looked down at the water.
It's rising. It's getting...
See on the other side.
JB tucked his beloved fedora into the front of his coat as he jumped feet first into the pool. A trail of bubbles indicated his progress under the ledge of rock.
The rain. I can hear it. Hear it louder. Ryan, it's like thunder on...
There wasn't time for her to finish the sentence. The pool began to foam and froth, a reddish scum appearing on its surface. Where it had originally been rising slowly, inching up the slight slope toward them, it now swelled wolfishly, clawing at their boots, forcing them back up the tunnel into the blackness behind them. They hesitated. Already the water had risen at least 2 feet, pushing them back a dozen feet or more. The power of the surge was frightening, bubbling like a monstrous cauldron.
What do you think, Clover? It'd be difficult to swim through that now.
Ryan bit his lip in anger. Another half minute and they'd all have been through safely. It crossed his mind to wonder how the other five were on the far side of the pool. If the flash flooded this kind of awesome power, then what would it be like in the chamber beyond?
Gotta move back. No knowing how long this'll go on before it subsides again. Could be a couple of hours. Come on!
Whatever you say.
Ryan led the way. Now the light had virtually disappeared, and he felt his way along the slippery walls, hearing the thunder of the water behind them, imagining it pursuing them. The passage rose and fell, and Ryan wondered if the flood had sought out a lower level ahead of them, where it would trap them. He felt the panic rising in his chest as his pulse and respiration thundered. His good eye probed the blackness ahead as he tried to remember the way the tunnel had gone and wondered whether there were any side trails to confuse them. Water lapped around his ankles, cold and glutinous, like the embrace of a dying sticky.
You there, lover?
Yeah, keep moving. Getting deeper.
The passage sloped down, and for a few moments the water was up to his waist, chilling his groin, making him gasp in shock. Then the passage jerked up again, so that the water only slurped at his boots. The floor was streaming, slippery, and infinitely treacherous. The current was so fast that to fall would mean death in the shrinking darkness. When the passage narrowed, he banged his head hard on the ceiling, stunning himself.
Watch your head!
The ceiling suddenly caved in, and someone fell on his shoulders. Fire lanced across his ribs from a knife or spear as fingers clawed at his windpipe. The extra weight was enough to knock him off balance, and he slipped over, head plunging into the cold mud. The Heckler and Coke went into the water. Ryan couldn't breathe. Something held his head under the slime as a knife or spear sliced across his stomach and cruel fingers tried to rip out his throat. Feeling skins with his hands, he guessed it was an ambush from the stunted muties who had been trailing them since they had arrived in the complex. It crossed his mind that the muties had probably built the maze of tunnels, scaled down to their dwarfish bodies. This one had been hiding in a dugout in the ceiling when it had heard them back away from the rising flood. Ryan's only edged weapon was the panga that was sheathed at his belt, useless for such close combat. He half-rolled, kicking out to try to gain a footing. Pushing against the walls of the tunnel, he threw himself back, smashing his opponent into the jagged stone. The grip on his throat loosened for a moment, and Ryan was able to reach behind him, grabbing under the skins between the man's thighs. Feeling the softness of the dwarf's genital sac, he squeezed and ground it as hard as he could, digging his nails in. Finally, the mutie was off his back, and Ryan straightened, his head at last clear of the torrent. There was a flickering yellow light from the hole above him where the ambush had been launched, and he made out the head of another man staring down at him. A spear lunged toward him, and he dodged.
Whoa!
The first mutie approached again, face contorted with pain, mouth open, long, wolf-like tusks gleaming golden. One of the strange, sectioned spears was in his right hand, jabbing at Ryan's belly.
Ah, fucker!
The blow wasn't hard to parry with the side of an arm. Ryan blinked. Mud had gotten in his eye. He watched his enemy. The water was just above the man's knees, swirling and tugging, making it difficult to maintain balance. The best thing to do, Ryan figured, was to get in close and use his superior height, strength, and weight in hand-to-hand fighting. The lance started out again, and Ryan took a superficial cut on his left hand from the jagged, barbed ivory tip. He felt the warmth of fresh blood trickling down inside his coat from the two wounds across his ribs. Nothing seemed too seriously damaged. Beyond the mutie's shoulder, he caught a flicker of movement and a flash of brilliant crimson hair. Whatever problems Christy might be having, there was nothing he could do to help her. Not yet.
Come on, you evil little fucker.
He watched the flat blank face, seeing nothing in mud-colored eyes. Out came the spear, but Ryan was ready, moving easily like a dancer inside the thrust, grabbing the wooden haft and pulling the mutie toward him. Ryan swung a punch at the mutant's open mouth, but the mutie was quicker, ducking and grappling with him. A foot hooked behind his ankle, and Ryan fell again, dragging at his opponent's arm. Once again, he swallowed a mouthful of the muddy stream, flailing and kicking at the mutie. The creature tried to butt him, and Ryan turned, biting the side of the attacker's neck. His teeth slid off the wet skin, and he tasted grease and sweat and wood smoke. He locked an arm around the scrawny neck, simultaneously managing to pull him closer and heave himself from the water. Despite being much smaller and lighter than Ryan, the mutie was a vicious and cunning fighter, throwing Ryan off balance for a third time, hands scrabbling toward his groin. With great effort, Ryan turned so that the clawing fingers tore at the side of his thigh rather than at his scrotum. Again he dipped his head, seeking the mutie's throat with his teeth, finding flesh and clamping his jaws shut. An artery pulsed between his lips as he drove his teeth through skin into flesh. Blood, salty and warm, spurted into Ryan's mouth. The mutie thrashed and kicked. One hand came up toward Ryan's face, attempting to rip and pulp his one good eye.
Oh, no you don't!
Ryan seized the wrist, squeezing it, and feeling the thin bones flex and snap like twigs. He clamped his teeth together with great force, spitting out blood from the corner of his mouth, working through the beating wall of gristle that protected the carotid artery in the throat. The mutie, even with a broken arm, wasn't down, and he nearly succeeded in kneeing Ryan in the groin, instead delivering the blow to his leg. Ryan's head bobbed as he chewed into the man's flesh. As he finally severed the artery, there was a great burst of wetness and heat that nearly choked him. He opened his mouth and pushed away from the dying mutie, seeing the lifeblood, almost black in the tunnel's dim light, spout clear to the ceiling. The dying man was carried away by the surging torrent, his broken arm waving crookedly as he whipped around a sharp corner and vanished.
Good riddance.
Ryan stooped to retrieve the fallen blaster, glancing at the trap in the ceiling, seeing someone still stooped there. Without hesitation, he pulled the trigger. The mutie fell backward out of sight.
Any more?
Can't fucking tell.
Wading toward Christy, who was stooping under the low roof a few yards away, it struck him that she was in a peculiar lopsided position.
Took your time there, lover. Getting too old for all this.
Didn't know it took that long. Shows how time flies when you're having fun. You hurt your leg?
No. Had a mutie come after me, but I neck-chopped the little bastard. Knocked him underwater. Then, before I knew it, I had the heel of my boot jammed tight on the back of his head. He's still down there. Figure he's had about enough?
Let's go and find out.
Right.
Christy moved away, and the sodden corpse of another mutie rose slowly to the surface, face up, eyes and mouth open. It began to drift in a circle before the girl pushed it, allowing the current to carry it off and follow the other chilled body. Ryan took Christy's hand, holding her tight.
Done good.
He leaned in, kissing her on the cheek.
You get hurt?
Some. Hit one of them folding spears like Whitey got. Caught me across the belly.
No serious damage. Lower down?
No. Not that I noticed. Bled a little. The son of a bitchin' fucker tried to rip my balls off. That made me real angry.
Christy stared up at the circle of yellow light.
Could be more of them up there?
I reckon they'll have had it on their toes when the shooting started. I'll lift you and you take the blaster.
He handed her the gray G-12 caseless.
Water's stopped rising.
Yeah, but if that passage goes above, we can find a way out and maybe link up with the others outside. Save us waiting down here. Truth is, I don't much care for this crawl.